morning pile. Welcome in, Jim and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Your chance to gripe, complain, throw a fit. Whatever you need to get off your chest, we're here for you to make that happen. I'm going to start. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee. I'm just tired of Aaron Rodgers. I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing from him. I'm just kind of fed up. That being
which
said,
which is weird because
yeah,
I want like 10 minutes ago.
Well,
can I hear more Aaron Rodgers?
Well, we want to play the clip
of him
talking about the process he will go through
to
make his decision.
Tired of hearing, but
I'm
we just, don't have to.
I'm just tired.
Show,
I'm just. You know. I know, but for the pile, for their edification, for their information, they can hear Rodgers. I'm gonna sit here. Oh, I'm just so tired of hearing him. I know. It's so.
I'm so tired of hearing Aaron Rodgers.
Could you give me some Aaron Rodgers,
Here's
please?
68 seconds of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
But I'm just tired.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something you're tired about today. Please let us know. Tired of the Nuggets making it tough to beat Detroit. Detroit's got like a JV squad. And look, I'll agree with Michael Malone on this. Rather be 2-0, right?
Yeah.
You know, against the Pistons. Rather get wins. Doesn't matter how they look. But rather get the wins. And Nikola Jokic, by the way. A little stat for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite stat of the day. Maybe it kind of would be. Thanks to Dan Patrick for that. Stat of the day. Nikola Jokic, first Nuggets player to reach 3,000 assists and 5,000 rebounds in his Nuggets career. Think about that. Not too shabby, considering the guys that have played on that franchise, the immense talent that's been there for Nikola Jokic to do that, and nearly had a triple-double last night in the win against the Pistons. So if there's something you want to get off your chest, want to complain about today, please do that, because that's what we're here for on this Wednesday, your chance to win a bottle of Talon Wine. Oh, the selection is amazing with Talon Wine. They have one of the best wineries around. Make sure you check. If you have not tried Talon Wine, make sure you do it.
Gave a bottle away for Christmas, and very happy they were to receive that. Haven't heard back on whether they enjoyed the bottle, but they were happy to receive the wine itself.
Exactly. Sure they.
I'm sure they did. I mean,
I'm sure they thought the wine looked fantastic.
They probably had it, went to sleep, and then
thought the bottle looked great.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they enjoyed what was in the wine even more. And you can go on the Talon
Wine for grown-ups, really.
Exactly. You can go on the Talon Wine Tour as well. They have, like I said, some just amazing wines out of Talon Winery. Make sure that next time in your local adult beverage store, that you grab a bottle of Talon Wine. So today, what's grinding your gears? What do you need to get off your chest? Yesterday we had Sam from Fruita, which it was kind of a minor thing, right? About Avalanche being too unselfish.
About how they pass the puck too much in wins, I guess.
Yeah, well, which if that's your biggest gripe about the Avalanche right now, I think Jared Bednar will take that. He'll be okay with that.
Right.
So last night, we found out who was going to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. On the same day, it was day two of the negotiations to try to get this year started for the Major League Baseball season. Mm-hmm. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, gets 77.9% of the votes. So Big Poppy, the only player selected by the baseball writers to go in. Now, he won't be the only guy inducted when the induction ceremony takes place July 24th at Cooperstown. Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, the late Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Minnie Minoso, and Buck O'Neill will also go into the Hall of Fame as well. But that's through the Golden Days and early baseball era committees that selected those gentlemen. But as far as the baseball writers, Big Poppy, the only guy to go in. Barry Bonds comes up short, 66% of the vote in his final year on the ballot. Roger Clemens, final year on the ballot, because they'll now go to the Golden Era, that committee, the Veterans Committee, essentially,
yeah,
to determine their fate. Clemens, 60...
Senior citizens.
Thank you.
The old ones.
65.2%. Scott Rowland continues to trend like he's going to be in the Hall of Fame through the vote. 63.2%.
I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they had Tim Kirkjian on, and he says, essentially, if you get up over 60, you'll get in more often than not.
Right. And Kirkjian, with the praise of Scott Rowland, said that only Brooks Robinson, Nolan Arenado are better defensive.
Better defensive third baseman he's ever seen with his own eyes.
Yeah, than Scott Rowland. Curt Schilling, 58.6%. He's on the final year of the ballot as well. So like Bonds and Clemens, he'll go to the Veterans Committee. Rockies' Todd Helton, 52% in his fourth year. And you've got 10 years to make this happen.
And he's trending upward anyway.
Right. So, while disappointing Todd didn't get in, it wasn't surprising that he didn't get in yesterday. But maybe next year. That's a big jump, though. I don't think it'll be next year. The more I'm thinking about it, man, he might make a run at it next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably looking 2 years down the road for Todd Helton to have a real good opportunity to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be there in the last year. Was it Larry in his last year?
Believe so.
You know,
yes.
I think he'll eventually get in. And, you know, I've been kind of thinking back to Scott Rowland, right? And my memories of him are different than what it actually was. And I think I maybe was tainted by Phillies fans. You know what I mean?
Kind of like with me with A-Rod a little
bit. But for me, it was he really that good? And because I was like, man, the Phillies fans hated this kid.
Right.
Like, they didn't want him. They didn't want him to play for the Phillies. He's no Mike Schmidt.
He always lived in Mike Schmidt's shadow.
He was a rookie of the year. And I go back and look, and I'm like, maybe I let Phillies fans taint it. Because
you got in your head.
Yeah. They don't want this guy. How good can he really be? You know, they haven't won anything forever. And so it was kind of like, how good could he be? And then you go back and look, and
it's pretty damn good.
His numbers are pretty good. His defense was really good.
Yeah. Good as Brooks Robinson, good as Nolan Arenado. No, but not far behind them, though, when you're talking about, and a guy that certainly carried his own weight from an offensive standpoint. Yeah, he's a guy that I think a lot of people, like you said, you get this picture painted of him as that he was a disappointment as a Philadelphia Philly.
Like an underachiever.
Yeah, and he really wasn't. So Big Poppy goes in. He's the first solo selection from the baseball writers since. Can you fill in the blank for me? Can you tell me who?
First solo selection?
First solo selection from the baseball writers.
Mariano Rivera?
No.
Oh. Griffey?
No.
Okay.
Griffey played on the same team as this guy. I don't know if they played together. I think they probably did.
Edgar Martinez?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm out.
Barry Larkin.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Mariners.
They can do his Reds days.
Ken Griffey was a Red.
He's a Red for a while. Yeah, 2012 was the last player voted in, the solo player to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So it's congratulations to Big Poppy, 46 years old now. They showed the video. Did you see the video yesterday of him and A-Rod? And I can't remember who else it was. And it was Big Poppy and these minor leaguers when A-Rod was at the Mariners. And this home run hitting contest, this kind of grainy, wasn't quite Zapruder film-like, but grainy kind of footage from this minor league game where they had a home run hitting contest.
I didn't see that.
With Big Poppy. When he a very slim, trim Big Poppy.
Little Poppy.
Little Poppy. They are also talking, I think it was Kurt, might have been Kirkjian talked about this, where there's the story that the David Ortiz, when he was in the minors, hit a home run, might have been in spring training, hit a home run, and it went into the next park. It left the park, went across a parking lot and into the next baseball field. I'm talking about 500 some.
Prodigious.
Prodigious. Mammoth.
Yeah. But did he do the Don Johnson from Tin Cup and hit it and it bounced through the parking lot on the asphalt? Because that's kind of cheating.
No, I think it was on the air. I think it was on the fly. I don't remember. Kirchin didn't really elaborate on that part of it, but that was the part that I saw yesterday too on MLB Network about showing that video and going back to the early days of of David Ortiz. But people forget Minnesota Twin at one point.
Yeah.
David Ortiz.
They gave him up because they didn't really think he was going to amount to
it. Yeah, well, he showed them, didn't he?
As it turns out.
Which is kind of ironic that he's going in with guys like Jim Cott and Tony Oliva. Great Minnesota Twins, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a little bit of irony there. All right, so if you got some thought on the Hall of Fame voting from yesterday, also, I know I said I'm sick of Aaron Rodgers. But
we'll bring back some more Aaron Rodgers.
But we have to talk about it.
We kind of have to.
Living where we live right now and considering Rodgers is on the Broncos' radar.
You're right. Yes. I forgot about the why wouldn't he want to be a Bronco portion of Broncos'
country. We still have to have this conversation about him until he tells us.
Who wants to play for the Packers over the Broncos? There's some of those guys out there, you know.
I know there's plenty of those guys, and
why would you want to be playing last weekend when you could be done already?
You could be on the golf course hanging out. Could be in studio with Pat McAfee. He doesn't have to
Bradley
do it on
Chubb's
Zoom.
Been in Cancun for 3 weeks. What's this guy doing? It's cold in Green Bay.
Come on. Now we're obligated until this deal is done. Until either he's coming to Denver. He's retiring, or he's saying, I want to be traded to someplace else, and it's not Denver, or I'm just going to stay in Green Bay, and we're just going to fix the problems we have here and get over the hump and get to a Super Bowl.
So we got about 5 more months before this is all settled.
Said he wants to make the decision soon. Well, I said, we'll have that audio coming up at top of the 8 o'clock hour.
Do this all again in 11 and a half months.
Oh, when he says he's going to make the decision quick, why do I think that's horse crap?
You have no reason to believe him.
He's going to drag this out and be vague and go on Pat McAfee's show and try to just mess with people and make them think, oh, man, Shalene's got the home in Boulder. And, boy, I love the mountains. I love the Flatirons.
I love the fact that Pat and A.J. Hawk ask him a question. What are your parameters here? And in 90 seconds, he barely grazes onto the topic.
Here's the problem I have with that, with them and him being on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Put his feet to the fire a little bit.
They're not going to do that.
But that's what they should be doing.
Well, here's the I'll defend McAfee and AJ Hawk on that. Hold on. No. That is what you think their show should be about.
I know it's not what their show is about.
That's not what their show's about, and they are a different. They're kind of like a boys' club locker room. Safe space show.
Yeah.
That's how they get Aaron Rodgers in the first place.
I know.
The people that would hold his feet to the fire, he's not going on their show.
Or at least, look, Dan does it in a way where he can ask a question, somebody that he really likes, and kind of put their feet to the fire a little bit.
But Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to do that. That's why he goes on McAfee's show.
That's why he goes on
and they let him
Pat
go
McAfee's
for,
show.
You know, 15 minutes and talk about whatever he wants.
I'm sorry.
Because it's a different type of show.
I don't, and when I appreciate what Pat McAfee does and his genre. I just think you can have a good relationship and he can still ask questions that people like answers to. And if he says no, then okay, that's fine. But at least you made the attempt to ask the question. And I think you can do it without, like with Rodgers, though, you're right. It's hard to know what's going to set him off.
Right. And trying to make Pat McAfee this, hey, you know what? You got to be a journalist here. That's kind of unfair because he's not.
I just,
he has a radio show. That's different than your radio show or Dan Patrick's radio show. That's broadcast. Pat's a former, meathead football player
has
a radio show.
No, I don't expect him to be Woodward and Bernstein or something. I don't expect him to be this hard-hitting journalist. I just would. Doesn't he want? I mean, I guess maybe he knows since he knows Rodgers. I just ask the question, and if he says no, then he says no. And you don't have to. That's all I'm saying. I'm not expecting him to be more than what he is. He's Pat McAfee. You like his shtick way better than I do.
I think McAfee knows that, you know, if he just lets Aaron come on and say whatever he wants to say, he'll get Aaron every week, every time he asks.
And people like us are talking about his show.
And people like us are talking about it. People are going to search it out and watch it because they want to see if Aaron Rodgers says anything. And if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, if you're Pat McAfee, does your show get to the point? Does your show grow to the point to where it's at right now? And I'm not sure it does.
Yeah, when he was doing stuff for ESPN, I've really liked Pat McAfee. I don't dislike him as a human being or mm-hmm. anything. I just don't like his shtick. It's just not my thing. You like it, I don't. I think there are those of us in both camps on.
And
it's like Jim Rome. Not everybody likes Rome.
He's getting Pat, though, is very close to the always positive guy, who I don't like.
Yeah,
right. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah,
like Pat is, everything is great. Can you believe the amount of money I get paid to talk football?
Okay, and that wears thin on people.
And you know, not that he talks about how rich he is all the time, but like we did the sound check. I think it was a month or so ago about where all the money he got from FanDuel, and he gave most of it away to people, like his guys on his show or charities in West Virginia,
which I think is very cool.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, this is dumb. So we're gonna do something good with it. But there are times where he's like, "Hey, this is great. We're all on the right side." I'm like, "Oh, come on." That's where it starts to get on me. Is like, not everybody is this positive. You have to have a bad day in there somewhere, or I don't trust you.
I am
a McAfee fan.
Yeah, I think I tend to be a little more positive than you, but I understand what you're saying, because not every day am I positive. And that's why we have Wine About a Wednesday with Talon One.
Exactly.
There's something that's too much of a shtick for me with McAfee, if that makes any sense. It's like he tries too hard to be a regular guy. And like you said, mm-hmm. About being positive, he just tries to be too much a regular guy. Regular guy, though, with a lot of money.
Right.
That knows a lot of famous people, like Aaron Rodgers.
I think one of the things I like about Pat McAfee is he really doesn't care if he pisses someone off. And I have a little bit of pride in that.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of that way. And, you know, it kind of speaks to what you said about talking about Aaron Rodgers is, Pat, you're a broadcaster. You should be this way. Or you're a rich football player. You should be this type. But you're not a regular guy. And it's like, you know, I think that him kind of busting those norms and
but I'm gonna
needling people about it is kind of fun.
But you also kind of contradicted yourself too by saying that he's the kind of guy that's mind making people mad. Well, then why would he care about asking Aaron Rodgers a simple question about it and being more direct about it if he doesn't care about making people mad?
Because
he's his bro, he's his buddy.
Like just random people. You know, the random coworkers, strangers on the street. I don't care if you're mad at me. I don't want my friends to be mad at me.
Okay. What's clarification? And okay.
You know, like I don't go out of my way to piss my friends off.
No,
I don't care about your opinion, really, I'm not going
to
care.
No, but once again, I'm not saying he has to be this amazing journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But from an interest standpoint, don't you want to know? Don't you want to at least elicit some kind of response from him that answers a question, as opposed to letting him just ramble and ramble and ramble? And
I don't know if he does.
And go way back and say, wait a minute, Aaron, okay, I asked you this.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really answer that. What are your plans?
I don't know if he does. I don't know if he really cares to know the answer of what his future plans are.
Yeah, we disagree on how he does his show, and he's mm-hmm. been insanely successful, and I'm not. I just think I would ask, if I was him, I'd ask the question. And if he doesn't answer it, then
we've asked for Aaron Rodgers. He's just not willing to come on.
We have? Really?
Because he, you know, he doesn't like the tough questions.
Okay. Not from this program, he doesn't. No, they ask really tough questions on that show. I'm going to pass. Thank you. All right, let's get to
what's happening.
All right, Boston Red Sox great David Ortiz is heading to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ortiz was the only player voted in by the Baseball Writers of America as the final bid for Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens came up short. The Golden Era Committee will now decide if Bonds, Clemens, and former JUCO World Series pitcher Curt Schilling will eventually make it to Cooperstown. Former Rocky Todd Helton received 52% of the votes in his fourth year of eligibility. Ortiz will be inducted with Golden Era players Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, Bud Fowler, Gil Hodges, Manny Minoso, and Buck O'Neill. The Nuggets, Nikola Jokic scored 28 points and pulled down 21 rebounds to lead Denver to a 110-105 win at Detroit Tuesday. Jeff Green added 20 points to the Nuggets as Denver faced the Pistons for the second time in three nights. Nuggets are currently sixth in the Western Conference at 25-21. Tonight, the Avalanche will look to continue their home franchise winning streak, record-winning streak, as they take on Boston tonight for a game at 7:30. We'll talk with Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche, at 8:40 this morning. Both Colorado State and Colorado picked up wins last night in men's college basketball. The Rams beat Nevada 77-66 at Fort Collins as David Roddy scored 18 points and grabbed 8 rebounds for the Rams. CSU's now 16-1. They're 6-1 the Mountain West. The Colorado men's basketball team picked up a huge win at Oregon with their 82-78 victory. The Buffs rallied from a 15-point first-half deficit as Jabari Walker led CU with 24 points and 11 rebounds. The Buffs improved to 13-6 overall. They're 5-4 in the Pac-12. CU plays at Washington tomorrow night, and we'll have it on the team starting at 8:30 following our full-court coverage of high school basketball. Speaking of prep basketball, the Central girls basketball team extend their winning streak to 10 straight after winning at Montrose 39-32 last night. The ninth-ranked 4A Warriors were led by Christina Manzanares with 13 points as the Central defense set the tone by giving up just 4 first-quarter points. The Indians' Tegan Rocco scored 11 as the Indians dropped to 9-7 overall. They're 1-2 in the Southwestern League. Central's now 13-1 and 3-0 in the SWL. In a game from Monday, the Grand Junction girls fell to Moffitt County 59-11 in 2A. The 7th-ranked Cedar Ridge girls dumped Gunnison 58-25. The 4th-ranked 4A Montrose boys basketball team is now 16-0 with their 61-36 victory over Central. The Indians' Fletcher Cheesem led all scores with 21 points, with Rylan Nostrand scoring 11 for the Warriors. Central falls to 4-10. They're 0-3 in the SWL. The Fruit of Monmouth boys basketball team played a non-league game at Battle Mountain. The Wildcats dominated the Huskies with a 67-33 victory. The Wildcats' Carson Hollingshead scored 14 points as Fruit of moves to 7-8. The Caprock Academy boys, they're now 8-2 with their 50-46 win over Plateau Valley. Eagles' Jonathan Absher scored 12 points in the win. The Delta boys basketball team lost to Aspen 74-54 in 3A Western Slope League play. The Cedar Ridge boys fell to Gunnison 66-44. Both Colorado Mesa baseball and softball teams are picked to win the RMAC this season. The RMAC preseason coaches poll came out yesterday, and the Maverick baseball team was voted as the favorite as they look to win their 10th straight RMAC regular season title. The CMU baseball team is third in the nation in the D2 preseason poll. The Maverick softball team led the nation in winning percentage last season and they're ranked 21st in the nation. The CMU softball team received 9 of 12 first place votes. And that's
what's happening.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and the Nuggets get the win against the Pistons last night in Detroit. We'll have that. Also preview the Avalanche and the Boston Bruins. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Something that you need to get off your chest today. Send that to us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
I'm the Morning Guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Todd Helton does not get in last night to the Baseball Hall of Fame. 52% of the vote, though. Got to get to 75. Is it 2 years? Does Todd Helton get in 2 years? I tend to think so. Next year's going to be a big judge because a big gauge of where he's at, because he is trending in the right direction.
Right.
Scott Rowland got 63% of the vote last night, and it's kind of looking like maybe 2023, maybe Scott Rowland has a decent shot of getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Talking about he might be the only guy.
He might be just like Big Poppy last night. Could very well be the case. So if you've got some thoughts on that today, text or call us, 970-242-1340. Also, if you got some residual thoughts about our question yesterday about, you know, of course we did Good, the Bad, the Ugly on Monday. Getting my days mixed up here. This whole renovation thing in my house where we're doing the flooring has got me all screwed up. Just because everything is chaos right now in our house. It's absolute chaos.
Just knock it down, start from scratch.
No, we're not going to do that. No. Let's pump the brakes on that. But we did ask you about, of the guys that the Broncos are interviewing, they're down to the three candidates, Nathaniel Hackett, Kevin O'Connell, Dan Quinn. Who would you want to see as the Broncos coach? Who do you think it's going to be? We did that yesterday. You said Dan Quinn on both those questions.
Mm-hmm.
I said Nathaniel Hackett, and then I think it's going to be Dan Quinn.
But now there's the Saints have entered the chat, as the kids like to say.
With the Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Does Payton want to coach for anybody right now, though? Because he said that he has not ruled out a return to coaching after the 16-year career in New Orleans. Is now Sean
saying that more is it's another team that's available that has an opening.
More than trying to convince Sean Payton.
No, I don't. I mean, because Payton's got 2 years left on his deal.
Contract.
There'd
have
to be a situation with the Saints. I'm thinking more
have to. They have to be some kind of trade, or like it was with John Gruden.
There's another opening that Denver is not a bad team. They're a decent team.
Team like the Broncos with a pretty good defense, mm-hmm. but quarterback issues galore. Got Alvin Kamara. I mean, there's some pieces there, but we don't know what's going to happen with Michael Thomas moving forward. Because when healthy, he's one of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah, but he's not healthy very often.
But is Taysom Hill the answer there? Jameis Winston, what? He was just on a 1 year deal, if I remember.
I think so.
Correctly.
Easier division.
Yes, right now I would say that, and particularly with Tampa Bay's situation being what it is, of what's going to happen with Brady, it's sounding like that's a decent possibility. But I guess my question about Sean Payton is, will anybody take a run at him to try to tell the Saints, hey, we'd love to have Sean Payton coach our team. What can we do in terms of a trade here to get him? Or is Payton even interested? It seems like he's not. I don't think
he's interested.
Because a phone call would have to happen between all those parties.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's into, like, say it's George Payton of the Broncos calling the Saints. Well, Mickey Loomis, I believe it's still their GM. Say, hey, he's got 2 years left on his deal. What can we do? Would Sean be interested? Would you be interested in a trade and him coming here to coach in Denver?
I think gotta get
Sean Payton to like the idea first and want to come to Denver.
And I think if you're going to do that, you're also going to have to compete with at least one team that technically still has a head coach, because we know Jara loves Sean Payton.
Yeah, and Payton was a Cowboys assistant years ago before he started, of course, his time in New Orleans being their head coach.
Jara wanted Sean Payton before he went to the Saints. He wanted him to be the next coach of the Cowboys. Just didn't work out that way.
So those are interesting things that are out there now. Another, like you said, another team now looking for a head coach. And how does that speed up the process for the Broncos here to get their guy? If they feel like somebody else might want an interview with one of the guys that they're talking to.
Right.
So it does have a very direct impact on everybody still looking for a coach. Because now there's another team, another contender, a team that's a pretty good football team. Some good bones there. Just like Denver, though, the team needing a quarterback. All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Duke.
Duke. Good morning, Duke. How are you?
Hi, Jim. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Duke?
Very good. Hey, great job on, I just want to say great job on the elections out there at the Fruto Hall of Fame. Classy group going in, and really thank you for your help and supporting that and just supporting kids throughout the Valley all these years. So,
well, it's a pleasure. It's a labor of love, and I'm very honored that they asked me to be a part of that, and I've enjoyed being a part of that immensely. I'm going to have some more of the Fruto Hall of Famers coming up here over the next several days.
Good deal. Hey, and just a bummer about Helton. We're all a little prejudiced. We always thought he was a Hall of Fame guy, and at least he stumbled a little bit after retirement, but I think he's okay now, and you know, he's made some corrections in his life, and God bless him for doing that, and just just shows nobody's perfect, you know?
So. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Todd's had his issues with alcohol and the DUI situations, and so it's good to see that it, you know, everything looks like that he's addressed that part of his life. And
I had
the privilege of interviewing him on one time one-on-one, and another time part of the press group that was, you know, covering him when he was here doing his rehab stint with the Grand Junction Rockies. But classy guy, quiet, reserved guy, and fewer were better at making shortstops and third basemen look good, like Todd Helton did, with the way he kept picking balls out of the dirt.
You're always amazed. Thanks, Jimmy. Take care.
All right, thanks, Duke. Great to hear from you. All right, Duke, this morning. I don't think you and I, we didn't expect Helton to get in, and I agree with Duke that a lot of Rockies fans would love to see Colorado get their second Hall of Famer in to join Larry Walker.
To get in. I did not expect him to get in yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought, boy, if he got up to maybe like 55, right? 55, 56, boy, that'd be really good. He's at 52. The number keeps growing, and he still has time on his side. Just in his fourth year of eligibility, 10 years, once again, to get in through the baseball writers, and then it goes to the Golden Era Committee, and if he doesn't get in through the writers, which there's a lot of concern about who qualifies as far as a baseball writer.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are voting for the Hall of Fame that haven't covered baseball. They don't cover baseball on a regular basis. They did at one time, but they're still in that group that they still get to cast a vote. I still have some issues with that, because you have the guys that cover baseball, you know, the Jeff Passans, you know, the guys like that, Jason Stark, that they cover them, Peter Gammons. Good to see Peter Gammons. You watch. Might have been Gammons that was talking about the home run from David Ortiz, and not Kirchen. Might have been, because I saw Gammons too.
Yeah.
I think some of this was from Gammons, and I incorrectly said Kirchen.
I didn't get the chance to watch Peter Gammons. I had to turn Gammons, off before.
Gammons is after Kirchen, yeah. So some of that stuff was from Peter Gammons too, which I've always loved his writing and loved how he covers Major League Baseball. All right, Nuggets get the win last night against Detroit. Second time in three nights the Nuggets have faced the Detroit Pistons. Got the win Sunday in Denver, and then last night they started the road trip at Detroit, taking on a Pistons team, like we said, is almost kind of like a JV team. It's a very young basketball team, a lot of injuries, and you know, it's like I said, a lot of youth for this team. Denver struggled to win the other night. Nikola Jokic had a big game in that one, and Nikola Jokic had another big game last night as the Nuggets were able to get the victory 110-105 last night. And Nikola Jokic stepping up for the Nuggets last night, nearly had a triple-double, 28 points, 21 rebounds to lead Denver to a 110-105 victory. And after the game, Michael Malone talking about the moment that, in his opinion, was the big moment for the Joker last night in the win. And it's kind of his thoughts about the number of turnovers they had last night. They had 38 turnovers. It was an ugly night. There were 38 points that were scored off turnovers last night by Detroit. And so for the Nuggets, it was kind of a, like I said, once again, not a very pretty game for Denver last night in getting the victory over a pretty poor Detroit Pistons team. Here's Michael Malone on the Joker and the win.
Yeah, I felt the biggest play tonight. Fourth quarter, we're struggling, can't score, can't get a stop. Can't stop the clock to get our subs in. We had a logjam at the scorer's table. So take the timeout. They're making a hell of a run. And Nikola, who's been on the bench for however many minutes, comes out and just cool hand loop, knocks down a three-point shot. And that just speaks to his resolve, his calmness, and just being the clutch player that he's been for 7 years. So, it's hard, man. 28-21-9. It was great that he's coming off Western Conference Player of the Week. The numbers that he put up in that press release was incredible. I don't know if I've seen numbers like that before. The turnovers tonight were really alarming. You know, I told our players, this is not the recipe for success on a long road trip to have 25 turnovers for 38 points. So we have to clean that up. But what allowed us to kind of weather that storm was second half, our defense was terrific. They shot 38 from the field and 26 from three. So again, not a pretty game. Both games against the Pistons were slugfest, but I will take 2-0 any day.
All right, there's Michael Malone. So 25 turnovers, 38 points by Detroit last night. And their first-round pick, Cade Cunningham, big game last night for Cade Cunningham. Finished with 34 points for Detroit last night. But last night, the Joker got a little help. Jeff Green, 20 points last night. Here's the Joker on Jeff Green.
He's really good. You know, I think just his ability, his athleticism, that he can, in some moments, guard 1 through 5. And then just knowing the game, and he was so much, he's so long in the league, he knows the guys. He doesn't know the rookies, but he knows everybody else. You know, just with the experience, with the talk, he's been great for us for real, the whole season.
So the Nuggets road trip continues. They head to Brooklyn tonight to take on the Nets. Now on the team tonight, the Avalanche, they're back at home looking to extend their franchise home record winning streak, the fifth longest in NHL history, as they take on the Boston Bruins tonight. Bruins come in fourth in the Atlantic right now, 24-13-2. The Avalanche, your top team in the Central, top team in the West, 29-8-3. Nazem Kadri is fifth in the league right now with 52 points. He scored 16 goals, and he's got 36 assists. And the Avalanche are 18-2-1 on their home ice. They lead the NHL averaging 4.1 goals per game. Mikko Rantanen has 22 right now. Bruins haven't been bad on the road. They're 10-5-1 on the road. They're seventh in the Eastern Conference at 8.3 points per game, 3.1 goals per game. And Kadri, as you mentioned, with the 36 assists, 52 points. Rantanen has 6 goals and 7 assists. So as much as we talk about McKinnon and Cale Makar and everybody else, Nazem Kadri's had a brilliant season.
He has. He really has. And I asked Connor McGahee about it a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, I don't know if it's true. It just feels to me that he's embarrassed and ashamed of the way his season ended, and by proxy, the Avs season ended last year, and he's coming out with a vengeance. He seems to be way more disciplined. He's still kind of, you know, grinder, sand in your shorts guy, but he's playing way more disciplined, I think, this year.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be the moments where he's an agitator, where you get that sense that he's
not taking a bad penalty in a while.
No. And he's been insanely productive on the offensive end. Patrice Bergeron leads the Bruins with a +8 in 38 games this season. David Pastrnak has 11 goals and 4 assists over the last 10 games for Boston. He's been hot lately for the Bruins. And for the Avalanche, the last 10 games, it's been phenomenal. 9-0-1, averaging 3.5 goals per game, 6.1 assists per game, and right now a .930 save percentage. As we talked about, Pavel Francouz and Darcy Kuemper have been outstanding. Francouz in particular has been phenomenal for the Avalanche between the pipes. So we'll talk with Connor McGahee coming up at 8:40 this morning, the radio voice of the Avalanche. He'll have it tonight right here on the team, pregame at 7:30 for that one. Colorado taking on Boston. All right, 7:41, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's a one about a Wednesday with Talon Wine. You got something you want to complain about today? Still got some thoughts about our question from yesterday about who would you like to see coach the Broncos? Of the three candidates that they've interviewed and are interviewing again, they interviewed Nathaniel Hackett again this week. Kevin O'Connell, a little more problematic because he's the OC for the Rams. They're playing the NFC Championship game on Sunday. And then Dan Quinn, Cowboys defensive coordinator. So who would you like? Who do you think it'll end up being? Got two different questions there. Text or call us, 970-242-1340 in the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, and they have Inside the NFL coming up this week, and of course they always have a segment that has a player mic'd up from the previous week. And this is for video, so it's not the greatest medium for radio, but the trailer is Travis Kelce mic'd up, Chiefs Bills, and they have him talking about the last two plays in regulation before they actually happen.
Now the Chiefs have got to somehow get in field goal range.
Hey, 10. They might man you up. I'm saying go outside and come back in like you're running a route outside. Okay. That way when you come back in, I can get in the way.
They actually have a chance to get Bucker in field goal range here.
Hey. They're playing like that. That seam is open.
8 seconds left, down 3.
So he tells Tyreek Hill to come back towards him in motion on the second to last play, and then he blocks for him as he picks up 20 yards. And then, before the next play, says, hey, that seam's open, which is exactly the play he caught for 25 yards. And I talked about it with Garrett Bowles. I had something about this, I think, in like August or September. You forget just how bright football players are about the game. Right, Travis Kelce's shtick, his act,
it's like
whatever. He's like, you're like, oh hey, he's a good football player. He's a really entertaining guy. You forget just how smart they are sometimes, or at least I do. Forget just how smart they are, and it's you watch that and you remember how those plays develop. You're like, damn, he called them both
right
in like a minute.
And that's the story about Gronkowski too. And I'm sure the same with Tampa Bay when he was in New England with Brady. That Brady even said this, that Gronkowski, of all the guys on the offense, knew the offense only second best to Brady.
Yeah.
And Brady even made comments about it. And he knows it pretty much as well as I do. And same with Travis Kelce. I mean, smart guys. Mm-hmm. Tight end position has become such an important position in an offense.
Especially that one.
Yeah, and those two guys we just referenced. Mm-hmm. But Travis Kelce, I mean, move him to the slot and play him to the numbers and his ability to be a chess piece for Andy Reid in the passing game, not just a red zone threat, always not just the typical tight end that's and tremendous blocker, not just a guy that is a glorified wide receiver, a guy that will get in the muck and
He blocked on one of those two plays. He was throwing defensive backs
exactly,
around.
just like Gronkowski.
Who was he also chipped a defensive end too?
Yeah,
in you know like in overtime.
Like Noah Fant can learn a lot. I get it that trying to block a defensive end's tough, but Noah Fant, if he's going to get to this elite level that a lot of people think that he can get to, that's got to be a better part
it
of his game.
It takes talent, but 1-2 goes a long way.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and Palisade boys basketball coach Corey Hitchcock joins us next.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the team. Get in the huddle with Palisade Bulldogs basketball on the team.
All right, tomorrow night on the team, it's full court coverage as Palisade takes on Rifle in Western Slope League play. We'll also have coverage of Central and Eagle Valley. But with us right now, coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, off to a undefeated start in Western Slope League play, Corey Hitchcock joins us. Corey, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, I appreciate you having me again, man. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person for once.
I know. We have not had the chance to make that happen, and I'm going to be out there tomorrow night, and we'll finally get that chance to meet face-to-face. But the way your team is playing right now, 4-0 in the Western Slope League, 7-7 start, and we've talked about it before, where you got off to that tough 1-4 start. You lost your first three games at the Warrior Challenge basketball tournament. But league play has been an entirely different animal, and the beat went on the other day with the victory you had, knocking off Battle Mountain 61-51. Paul Steinke has been on a nice little stretch here for you, 21 points in that game to lead your Bulldogs to the victory over Battle Mountain.
Yeah, it's been awesome watching our guys be consistent. It's been awesome watching Paul and Donald kind of step up and be a little bit more aggressive and contribute a little bit more to us. I think it makes it hard for other teams. They don't know who to really guard. But I thought even against Battle Mountain, Donald and Paul both had great games scoring-wise, and their defense was starting to get a lot better. So it's been fun to watch the growth. And, it's cool just to see these guys start off league 4-0 and build some confidence. And, you know, we got to finish off this first half of the league, starting with Rifle and take care of business, and hopefully put ourselves in position to win a league championship for the first time since 2013.
Corey Hitchcock, coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Mentioned Paul Steinke with the 21 points. Donovan Mestis, you referenced Donovan. He had an outstanding game as well, with 17 points. But you got some good contributions. Nick Campbell had 6 points. Josh Zotto had 8 points for you. So those guys combining to give you some good production as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we have 8 guys that have really been contributing solids for us. Ryder Mancuso, Josh Zotto, Gerardo Marquez, Paul Steinke, Donovan, Julio, Jorge. All these guys have been contributing for us, and that's why we've been seeing so much success. I think everybody's getting to eat a little bit every game, and so it's keeping guys engaged and focused. It's been fun, really, watching them play as a team. I don't think we really started out early on playing together. I thought we were playing a little bit of selfish basketball. We were having a hard time scoring. The ball's been moving around a lot more. We're up to averaging 13 assists a game, and we've been scoring a lot more points because of it. Next, also, I think, you know, with Gerardo now at the one for us, pushing the basketball, we've been playing a lot faster. He's been doing a great job pushing the ball for us and being aggressive and getting some transition buckets for us. So it's been good to watch these guys put some points up on the board. But more importantly, man, just play defense. Holy smokes, our defense has been, you know, awesome. We've been holding teams to 38% from the field and 25% from three. And we're only giving up about 49 points a game right now. We want to get that down to about 45. But I've been really, really happy with our effort on both sides of the ball over the last 4 games.
Bulldogs boys basketball coach Corey Hitchcock with us on the Team Sports Network. And you're right, the defense has certainly made a major turnaround for you, Corey. But getting back to, you know, that the scoring that you're talking about, after that loss to Grand Junction, you lost 58-49 to a pretty good Tigers basketball team. Kind of, it seemed like maybe the switch got flipped a little bit. You end up winning by 10 against Steamboat. You score 52 in that game, 79 against Eagle Valley, 76 against Summit, and then 61 against Battle Mountain. Was that Steamboat game the moment where you saw some things start to come together in terms of your team? Like you referenced, you know, they were playing kind of selfish basketball offensively, where that switch got flipped and they started to maybe be a little more unselfish on the offensive end?
I think we were a little disappointed after the Grand Junction game. We shot ourselves in the foot. Obviously, Grand Junction played well, and I thought we were playing well for the most part. We had a little stretch there. We kind of made some mental errors and kind of blew it. We didn't make any free throws. That hurt it for us. So we had to talk as a team, and, you know, I said, this season goes two ways. We can either turn this around and really play like I think we're capable of, or we can just keep playing selfish and not do anything together as a team and keep collecting losses. I said, but I've never really been a part of a team that lost as much, so I'm hoping that we go the other way. And it started that week at practice. I mean, you could just see the effort from these guys changed in the turn of the corner. And, at Steamboat, the fun thing about that game was we didn't have the lead until 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And we got down twice by 11 points. And, you know, this team usually in the past kind of, I don't want to say gave up, but they kind of didn't really fight back too hard. And we tried. We could never get over the hump. But at Steamboat, man, they just stuck together, man. It didn't matter who made a mistake. They were just real happy playing together and playing for one another, and they just grinded out a tough win at Steamboat. And I think once they saw that win against Steamboat, because that was the first time they had beat Steamboat, all these seniors had never beat Steamboat. So I didn't understand why they were celebrating after the game. Like, guys, we got to be humble winners. But they're like, Coach, it's the first time we've ever beat Steamboat. So it was kind of cool to see them, win something like that and then be happy about it. And then the next night, I mean, when you go back and play, you know, Eagle Valley, who is very, very tough, and to do what they did against Eagle Valley on back-to-back games, I think they're starting to see, like, holy smokes, if we play defense and we play together and we work the ball around, we can be really, really good. And I just hope we can continue that. We got a tough matchup tomorrow against Rifle. We're definitely not looking past them. They beat Summit by 26, and so they're starting to turn the corner a little bit as well. And I think it's going to be a great ball game, and I'm hoping our guys show up and ready to compete.
Yeah, Rifle comes in 1-3 in league play. Logan Gross is their leading rebounder, leading scorer. Going to be a top player for you guys to slow down for the Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. I think they got a couple of good players. Kate Bishop's a heck of a player. Kerry Owens a heck of a player. So, you know, we got to have our best defensive effort tomorrow to continue to do what we're doing. And we're not going to look past them. We're approaching every game with a 0-0 mentality. And I know the guys, you know, they want to prove that we're capable of doing all things. And everybody counting us out except for the people in this gym at practices every day. And so, you know, we want to show everybody that, you know, we're ready to go. We're serious, and we want to make a run and do some things that haven't been done here in a while.
And also big rivalry game, you know, going back to your Glenwood days, always big rivalry with Rifle and likewise with Palisade and Rifle.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this will be two big games for sure. You know, the Glenwood game is always going to have some, there's going to be some emotion tied to that. You know, just with me coaching there for 8 years and helping have the success that we had up there. But, you know, I'm a Bulldog through and through now. And, you know, those that's the past for me. And I tell our guys, we you know, we're going to look at Glenwood just like we looked at Rifle and Steamboat and Eagle Valley. It's just another team that's in our way that wants to try to knock us off since we have a target on our back.
All right, very good. We'll have coverage tomorrow night, full court coverage. Palisade and Rifle, also coverage of Central and Eagle Valley tomorrow night as well. It all starts at 5 o'clock. Corey, look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, and thanks again for coming on this morning.
Yeah, looking forward to meeting you, and thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it, Jim.
Likewise. Take care. Corey Hitchcock, first-year head coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, off to a great start in league play, 4-0, trying to get to 5-0 tomorrow night when they take on the Rifle Bears. Once again, that coverage starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 2 on the Jim Davis Show.